With 2 weekends left in the National Football League regular season, the very best teams from last year are among the worst this year, and 2 of last year's worst teams are at the top of the standings. Stefan Fatsis joins us most Fridays to talk about sports and the business of sports. Stefan, what's happened in the NFL?
What's up is down, and what's down is up. Heading into the penultimate week of the season, the teams with the best records are the Jacksonville Jaguars at 13 wins and 1 loss, the Indianapolis Colts and St. Louis Rams at 12-2, and the Tennessee Titans at 11-3. Nobody else has more than 9 wins, and some of the most familiar names of recent seasons, like the San Francisco 49ers and Denver Broncos and Pittsburgh Steelers, they've got 4, 5, and 5 wins, respectively. The Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys, 2 other powerhouses, 7-7, clinging to slim playoff hopes. If you look at last year's 2 Super Bowl teams, Denver and Atlanta, they're a combined 8-20.
Well, is this a bunch of coincidences, or does it reflect something about the way the National Football League works?
Well, the National Football League has always liked the idea of parity. Ownership, more than in any other sport, has been all for one, one for all when it comes to sharing revenue. The NFL was the first pro sports league to adopt a hard salary cap in the 90s, and this year it's about $57 million per team. And the vast majority of the league's income, like its $18 billion TV contract, is shared equally among all 31 teams. That's discouraged the sort of competitive imbalance that has divided baseball, for instance, into have and have-not franchises.
Well, if this is what the NFL wants, if this is an example of parity, then why don't we see it every year? Why was it that we saw the 49ers and then the Broncos prevail year after year for a while?
Well, because they developed an established core of all-star players, and what we're seeing now is a big changing of the guard. John Elway retired from the Broncos, who won the last 2 Super Bowls. San Francisco's quarterback, Steve Young, has been sidelined by repeated concussions. It looks like he may never come back. Dallas's stars are getting older, too. But more important, I think, some of the financial strategies that teams employed in the 90s are finally catching up with them. Teams that had more revenue in creative front offices, particularly Dallas and San Francisco, they found ways around the salary cap that allowed them to sign expensive free agents by deferring much of those contracts into the future. Those future years are now, and they've got less flexibility to maneuver. A lot of teams were expecting 1999 to be a cap-free year, meaning they could spend as much as they wanted, so they pushed a lot of those contracts into this season. But the league and the players' union renegotiated and extended the labor contract, so the cap-free year went out the window, and a lot of teams are hamstrung by these big contracts now.
Well, the result is a very interesting phenomenon. I mean, a league that that seems to be balanced and surprising as to which teams will be good. I wonder, though, in basketball, it seems to have hurt the professional league a lot that the dominant Chicago Bulls are now awful, and it seems to have helped baseball that our beloved Yankees have been winning several years in a row. Is it good for football that there shouldn't be any dynasties or very powerful franchises?
Well, it's good to have dynasties. Don't forget, dynastic teams are a cornerstone of any league, particularly the NFL. The casual fan that would turn into a San Francisco or a Dallas game because they recognize the team may not do that right now. Plus, you've got TV that counts on teams staying solid year after year, and that's a risk. ABC put the Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football 3 times this year, and the network's final game of the season is going to be the Falcons against the 49ers, and that's turned out to be nothing more than a loser-take-all battle for the 3rd pick in next year's draft. But there is an upside to having new blood at the top. If you look at St. Louis and Tennessee, those are relocated franchises. They came from Los Angeles and Houston within the last 5 years, and they haven't done well at all until now. Winning's going to help eliminate bad memories about multi-hundred-million-dollar municipal expenditures on new stadiums there. So that can be a good thing for the league.
Well, Stefan, enjoy the holiday weekend.
Likewise, Robert.
Good to talk with you again. Stefan Fatsis, who talks with us about sports and the business of sports most Fridays here on NPR's All Things Considered.